This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, the director of a fantastic new family film. It's called Root of the Problem. Scott Sickmer, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is a really fun movie, not only because the whole family can watch it, but because the message of it is a really worthwhile one as well. But before we jump into that, tell us, I mean, for you, this is your first feature film. Why was it the story that you wanted to tell?
Now, the story, originally, I fell in love with a book that was written by Joanne Sickmer, my mother, and then the book was actually taken over by Francis Danberger, and he turned it into a script for us and for what you actually see on the screen. And the story to me, it was a beautiful one that I knew from years and years from reading the novel, and I knew the story was one that needed to be told, and especially right now, it's the perfect time for this message.
Having your mum write the book, normally they say, you know, you don't work with friends, you don't work with family, it's never good. I feel like on a film set that could get even more complicated. How did she feel about you taking on a story that she had written herself?
It was definitely a process, but in the end of the day, she knew she could trust my vision for it, and that's where she always wanted me to direct this. And so once she wrote the novel, it was up to me to take it and write it with Francis Danberger into a screenplay. And at that point, it's not really her project anymore. It's moving on to now a screen, now going into a movie. And at the end of the day, it's kind of like, you have the book and yes, you wrote this, but this is my project. This is what we're building and this is my vision.
Yeah. And you can probably be a whole lot more honest with your mom about what your vision is and how you want it, you know, how you want it to work. So that's kind of fun that you had that relationship. But you mentioned that the message is really timely for now. Tell us about Paul and his character and what he is learning in life.
Well, Paul, he's played by Sergio Dizio, and he did an amazing job with me. He brought that character so much to life. And his character is a real estate agent, but he doesn't realize in his life that it's the small things in life that count. He's always looking to be the first ahead, the first one to sell a house, the first one to take the easy path. And even at the beginning of the movie, you see him kind of taking those tricks of how to sell a house, kind of putting air freshener and plugging the leaks in the sink with some gum. And he doesn't really pay attention to those things. It's kind of him first. Even with his family, it's always him first. And that's where he kind of, throughout the movie, you discover his character, that he's starting to realize that it is the small things. And when he does get this money tree, he doesn't realize that at first. It's all about, oh, look what I got, something more to myself, something more to show everyone of how good I am. And that's where he loses himself. He loses faith in himself. And that's kind of a message in the end, is he does find his faith and he does realize that it is the small things in life that count, and it's all about family and it's all about how you perceive your own life to be perfect.
Why do you think that's such a timely message for people in this particular season?
Especially right now, I feel like a lot of people, and even myself, this movie helped me discover it. And finding out that it's the little things that are important, especially now during COVID and being stuck at home. It's the little things now you're cherishing at home, and you're realizing, like, these were important. These are important things, and this is what you should focus on in life. You should strive for your own type of perfection in your own life. And it's about finding those little things in your life that make your own life perfect.
Yeah, and I think it can look really different for different people, and I think that's something people are learning now too. You know, it's not always the car and the big house that makes everybody satisfied. That maybe only actually suits some people. And I think there's also a really great message in the movie about the importance of working for what you have, and that you, because it sort of speaks to that dream that probably a lot of people have, that if money only grew on trees, we'd all have everything we need and wouldn't life be so much easier. But that's not really the case. There's actually something to be said for having to work and apply yourself to actually, you know, make some cash and get the things that you want in life.
Oh, of course. And that's what the message is all about. And it's great you said that, because it is, everybody takes a different message in this movie. I want everyone to leave and feel that way, that they all look at their own life, but everyone's life is different. So they take their own message out of it. And that's kind of the whole point of this, is telling a story where at the end of the day, you can take a message and you can feel good about yourself.
And it does obviously, really obviously, speak about the love of money. What do you think the love of money does to people? How does it affect us?
Well, especially with how you said that, like, it is the love of money. Everyone wants more money. Everyone dreams of winning the lottery, but it's not going to help you. Like, it will help you in the short term, but in the long term, you're going to forget about all the little things in your life if you have that money. And I find everyone has that struggle. And it's such a great thing about this movie is we're trying to build a budget to make a movie, and the movie's about a money tree. If only this tree was real.
Yes, I feel like so many filmmakers would really relate to you on that. And the idea of generosity is also a huge one. Tell us how the concept of generosity fit into the life of Paul and his family.
Well, it was, and you can see it in the character of Grace. She's played by Claire Rankin. And her character throughout the whole movie, she has this big heart. She does volunteer work, and it's all about generosity for her. And it's something that Paul never sees in his wife, and he never realizes it. And it's something in life where those little things of being generous, it comes back to you in so many more folds. And even in this feature film, you can see it with the character. The more he gives from his heart, the more you get back in life. Mm. And that's what all generosity is about. It shouldn't be coming from anywhere. You should be giving it away with your heart and not thinking about it.
And in this season as well, I think that's probably another message that's really going to hit people in the right time, learning how to give in seasons where, you know, you may not feel like you've got everything you and your own family need perhaps. And I think for filmmakers like yourself, the pandemic and everything that we've seen it do around the world and in individual families, I think is really going to change the stories that filmmakers are drawn to and maybe even new plots and things like that that come out of this time. Have you learned anything from the pandemic as a filmmaker about or that you think is going to affect your own approach to the movies that you make?
I think as it comes out, it's not really how it affects my approach. It's how we're going to be able to film in this new era and how we're going to be able to get everything done with being safe on set. And I find it's been great for a lot of my writer friends and a lot of people I know who are writers for COVID, because it's given them more time at home to flush out stories, flush out ideas. I think we're going to have a huge wave of great, beautiful stories come out from this, because everyone's been trapped at home. Everyone's been stuck inside. And they are focusing on the little things in their life. And I think that's going to bring beautiful stories to the screen. Mm. And I think we're going to be inundated with so much love and so much like generosity in the film industry for what stories are going to come out of this.
Yeah, I think it's certainly a special era for filmmakers, a really historical one. And early in your own career, I feel like you started with quite a significant highlight, getting to work on Interstellar with Christopher Nolan, an iconic director. Pretty cool that you got to be in that environment. Tell us how that door opened for you, but also what you learned from that experience.
That was definitely a dream come true. I was working on actually my internship from university through a feature film called Prairie Dog that I was first assistant director on. And Christopher Nolan was coming to Calgary to shoot Interstellar while their Alberta sections of the film. And they were putting a call out to look for production assistants and anyone who had experience to work out here. And during that time he came, it was a busier time in Alberta for filming. Mm. So it gave me the opportunity to put my name in the draw. I knew a couple people from the film that were working on it, put my resume in, and got a call the next day. And I had to find a job replacement for the movie I was working on for the last 2 days of production. And I told them, I was like, I can't turn down Christopher Nolan. I have to work with him.
Yeah,
I was like, I can't. And even that, I was staying about an hour and a half away from where they were shooting. So I was driving that every morning and every night as soon as we were done. And it was just, it was so worth it for me working with him. I got to be on set, kind of helping with cast, kind of helping whatever he needed. It was more at the beginning of my career. So I was more as helping as like production assistant on that feature. But seeing Christopher walk through the scenes with all the cast, seeing with Matthew McConaughey, especially Michael Caine and Jessica Chastain, they were phenomenal actors and actresses, and watching them build with Christopher is such a beautiful story, and seeing how much of an open mind he had for ideas. And I find I've taken that with me to Root of the Problem, and with anything I've worked on, with giving my actors some freedom with their lines to be like, hey, this isn't, I don't feel like this is what my character would be, and I don't feel like this is what I would do. And I'm very open to bringing that character to life, because that's, at the end of the day, it's that actor that's casting it. So the more freedoms you give them, and the more illusion that they have that in front of them, the more that character comes to life. It's great to look back at that, and especially to learn from Christopher Nolan himself, and him being open and being like, hey, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it. It was phenomenal. It was a dream come true, especially at the beginning of my career.
Yeah, I mean, it's what an internship to have, what a mentorship experience to be able to dive right into. And in teaching you how to pick a good idea, find a good story, what do you think makes for a great idea? What is it that is the key to a good story that can be made into a feature film?
That's a really tough one. But I think it's the story that makes the movie. And if there's no life in the story, then you're not going to be able to have a good movie. I've read so many scripts, and even the company I work for, Chaos, a film company right now, they get scripts every single day, and we're constantly reading and constantly looking through. And it's one out of every 100 scripts that you can see, you can actually visualize it. If you're not able to visualize it, and there's no emotion and life into it, then there's no point to making the movie, because nobody's going to be interested in it. Mm. You want to have something that brings life to the character, and you want something that's interesting. You want to tell a story that's visually there, rather than a book where you let the audience make it up. You let the audience build everything in their head with 300, 400 pages versus I need to visualize that movie in 98 pages. Or we don't have a film.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.